7 o'clock. Are we ready?
Ready.
Yep.
Okay, Newport Planning Commission is now in session. First order of business is the roll call, so Mr. Updike?
Here.
Gary?
Here.
Bob is here?
Here.
Bill is here? Michigan Hanselman?
I'm here.
Braulio?
I've returned.
And he's alive and well, and Marjorie?
I'm here too, yes.
Marjorie Blom is here, so all are here. First order of business is the approval of the minutes under the new format. Bob is gonna speak here.
Yeah, two things. Weren't you there on Zoom?
Yeah, I was on Zoom.
Okay, well, this says absent. And under citizen public comment, I think the very last word in the first paragraph should be plan and not code.
I didn't see that.
With those two corrections, I move that those minutes be approved for January 8th, 2023, regular and work session.
A second.
All in favor, signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed?
Abstain. Abstention.
One abstention and everybody else approved, okay. Citizen public comment. Do we have any, do you have any comments or anything for the, no? Okay, thank you. Action items.
We don't have any.
No action items. Public hearings, okay. I need to read something. I can skip the Zoom piece.
Well, can I ask about that? Are we not doing that, Sherry? Zoom?
No, there's no Zoom participation for this meeting.
It's not even available. If somebody had looked it up and said, oh, yeah, I'd like to.
No, they would have to request it.
Oh, they do. Oh, I didn't realize that. Okay, but you are recording.
We are recording.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, the video will be available. You bet.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, so not having any Zoom participants or anybody on the telephone? No, no telephone. Okay, we can skip some of this, I think. Quasi-judicial and legislative land use public hearing. We're going to have a conditional use permit to allow the operation of a coffee shop in a water-related zone. This statement applies to quasi-judicial and legislative land use hearings on the agenda. All testimony and evidence presented toward the request being heard must be directed toward the applicable criteria in the Newport Comprehensive Plan, Newport Municipal Code, or other land use regulations or standards which the speaker believes to apply to the decision. The failure of anyone to raise an issue accompanied by statements or evidence sufficient to afford the Planning Commission and the parties an opportunity to respond to the issue will preclude appeal to the Land Use Board of Appeals, which is known as LUBA, L-U-B-A, based on that issue. An issue which may be the basis of an appeal to LUBA shall be raised not later than the close of the record at or following this evidentiary hearing. Such issues shall be raised and accompanied by statements or evidence sufficient to afford the city decision makers and the parties an adequate opportunity to respond to each issue. The failure of the applicant to raise constitutional or other issues relating to the proposed conditions of approval with sufficient specificity to allow the city to respond to the issue precludes an action for damages in circuit court. Prior to the conclusion of a hearing, any participant may request an opportunity to present additional evidence, arguments, or testimony regarding the application. If such a request is made, then the hearing will be continued to a date certain and schedule set for submittal of additional testimony. A period for parties to respond to the new testimony and a period whereby the applicant can provide final argument. At this time, I would ask the planning commissioners to disclose any actual or potential conflicts of interest, bias, ex parte contacts, or site visits.
None. It's a site visit.
Okay. One site visit and that's it. Okay.
One site visit.
Oh, two site visits, okay. If anyone present has an objection to the participation of any planning commission member or the commission as a whole, please raise that objection now. Okay, could you state your name and where you live, please, for the record?
My name is Joshua Perkins. I live here in Newport.
Okay.
It's not...
I think we need an address.
No, sir.
Pardon?
I said no.
Okay.
I mean, I'm pretty sure it's public record. If you really want to know, I live in a blue house right across the street from the Arctic Circle. I'm not going to tell you which one, though, because I don't want you showing up. Anyway, so I'm very chafed. I'm chafing by this city council. I've seen you in action. And let me tell you, it's certainly not fit for an action comic. I've been to every retail establishment in this town because that's how it works in a small town. You guys know politics, right? That's how it works. They don't even think we have a mayor. And after I saw that and then saw him in action, I agree. Not saying he's a bad person. Not saying that he's not doing his best, but I think it's time for the best of someone better. Now, as for your plans, I have a pretty good one, too. Isn't that how democracy works, sir? In a republic democracy? I have an idea, too. More ideas, less of everything else. Now, my name is Joshua, which means the same thing as Yeshua, but never Jesus, because you want to know what? Greek? That's a Greek fiction. It was just made up to control you guys. They thought we wouldn't notice, but we did. Been reading a lot about this Jesus guy in the Bible. My question to you is, am I famous or something? Rut-row, Reggie.
Thank you.
Guess what? The clubs, they hide the scars.
Okay. I don't know that that was an objection, but we'll move on. The Planning Commission may, at the request of a participant or on its own accord, continue the hearing to a date certain to provide an opportunity for persons to present and refute or rebut new evidence, arguments, or testimonies related to the applicable criteria. This hearing will proceed in the following order. We'll have a staff report, then the applicant's testimony, persons in favor, persons opposed. The applicant can then have a rebuttal, at which point in time after that, the record will close for public testimony. The Planning Commission will deliberate questions and come up with a verbal decision. A final order and findings will be prepared for consideration at the next meeting. Okay, staff report.
Thank you. Derek Tokos, Community Development Director. I'll just walk through this briefly. What we have here is a conditional use permit to change over what had been an operation by Noble Wines that was approved in 2015 as retail use out of this building at 146 Southwest Bay Boulevard. The conditional use application would change that over to a coffee shop or, you know, with food service, so akin to a restaurant. Building's 1,400 square feet in size, was originally constructed as single-family residence in 1960. It is in a water-related zone on the bayfront, and all of the improvements or properties within that water-related zone, if you want to do retail, commercial, or other uses that are allowed in a tourist commercial zone, they're permissible through a conditional use review. And that conditional use review evaluates the application to ensure that it's consistent with the, you know, the character of the area, that the public services are adequate, that it complies with the requirements of the underlying zone or overlay, that the proposed building or building modifications are consistent with the overall character of what's down there, that kind of thing. So this did go through conditional use review in 2015 for retail, conversion to restaurant. Staff analysis covers, you know, again, for public facilities, we've scaled everything down there for fish plants. We've got adequate water, wastewater, stormwater infrastructure in place. It's fully developed street on Bay Boulevard, sidewalks, pedestrian amenities, all of it. So that's all in place and available. Public's, you know, ample evidence on the record for you to conclude that the public facilities in place down there are adequate to support the applicant's intended use. The request complies with the requirements of the underlying zone or overlay zone. The principal issue there is that in the W2, in areas considered to be historic, unique, or scenic, the proposed use shall be designed to maintain or enhance the historic, unique, or scenic qualities. That's usually more pertinent to circumstances, well, it is more pertinent to circumstances where you actually have new construction or an expansion that impacts the exterior of the building, in which case you're assessing whether or not those modifications comply with this requirement. In this case, they're not making changes to the exterior of the building. This is all interior renovations, so the standards satisfied. Proposed use does not have an adverse impact greater than existing uses on nearby properties. You know, one of the standards that had historically been evaluated under this provision had to do with the off-street parking, since, you know, parking has historically been a challenge in the Bayfront and Nye Beach areas in particular. We've just gone through a battery of changes to our parking code, as you all know. We're shifting over to the demand management approach. And we made changes with Ordinance 2215 that will allow this kind of change without them, you know, from a retail to restaurant. Restaurants do tend to be, or coffee shop, which would be a little bit higher traffic generator, but not order of magnitude higher. And in fact, we actually had this particular property listed as one of the examples in Ordinance 2215 when we were kind of working through you know, what could these changes allow? And in this case, that would, you know, generate fewer than five additional off-street parking needed, which under the new program means that's fine. So that standard's satisfied. And then, again, there are no exterior changes. So our recommendation would be for you to go ahead and approve the conditional use permit. The applicant will need to obtain you know, any required building permits. This is a land use action, it's not that kind of thing. And then whatever you do approve would be limited to what the applicant's proposing, and they provided some fairly detailed plans in terms of how they intend to kind of lay out the interior of the coffee shop. So that's all I have.
Is this the same location where a few years ago Gordy Beckstead was proposing to move a real estate office?
Yes, and he elected not to move forward with that.
Okay, So it's down there next to the, there's a restaurant called
Coffee House.
Coffee House.
And then this place sold wine, and I think a lot or two further, there's something called the Sail Inn.
Correct. Yeah, that's the area.
Any other questions of Derek? Do we have an applicant or? Okay. Could you come on up and give us your name and address for the record, please?
Yes, my name is Art Moore. My home address is 750 Southeast Marine Court in Newport.
Okay, is there something you'd like to tell us why we should go forward?
He pretty much covered it all. We wanted to convert that from wine tasting, I guess they served sandwiches and things occasionally, to a coffee shop. It's 1,455 square feet. And our intent is to have a barista station, a sandwich and soup type of restaurant. More to go than actual seating because it is a small location.
I have a question.
Yes.
In looking at part of what we got here, we had the old floor layout and your proposed floor layout.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't see a bathroom in there. Is there a bathroom? Or
we
don't have to have a bathroom?
Yeah, there's a restroom there.
Oh, I just didn't see it on the...
Looks like there might even be a bathtub. Is that...
There is a bathtub.
You can rent that out, you know.
No, that's for brewing. It's good for home brew.
For the gin.
Yeah.
Other questions of Mr. Moore?
No.
Wow. Okay.
The bathroom's on the adjoining page.
Oh, that's why I missed
it. Yeah, you've got the one page with the...
Here it is on this
right
page.
Next to the table.
Oh, yeah, there it is.
And
it's on the adjoining
table.
There is a tub and a sink.
I'm sorry?
I said you have a tub and a sink and a toilet.
Yes.
In the restroom.
Correct.
And an infinity pool.
It's on the adjoining. Oh, yeah, okay. Never mind. Yeah, there it is. Time for new glasses. Okay. Well, since we have the applicant here, I don't see any other persons in favor or persons opposed. I guess you're waiving your right for a rebuttal since there's nobody here. Any Braulio?
Just one quick question.
Sure.
Did you recognize the person who spoke earlier? No. Said something about living in a blue house? I'm trying to visualize that neighborhood, and I can't recall it. A blue house along that strip.
By Arctic Circle?
I don't believe that gentleman was here for this hearing.
Yeah.
No, he wasn't here for this hearing.
I don't know where he lives, but he said Arctic Circle. So off the highway. But I'm trying to think of a blue house.
No, yeah. I never saw him before in my life.
No, I haven't seen him either. But he was here for something.
He was here to express his opinion regarding the city, I guess. Okay.
Wrong meeting.
Huh?
Wrong meeting.
Yeah, wrong meeting, yeah.
He called us the city council.
Yes.
Thought it might be a bit.
Okay, the record is closed for public testimony. So at which point we go into Planning Commission deliberation questions and come up with our verbal decision. So we'll start with Marjorie.
I don't have any, it looks like it meets, as the Director Toko said, it meets all the standards, requirements. I don't see any problem. I'd be in favor of it.
Project's consistent with already that's going on along that strip of blocks, and you'll have less of a parking impact than full-scale real estate office, and so I don't see any problems in approving your.
Jim?
I don't find any issues with the applicant or the proposed business model. Seems to me that it fits down there. Derek's staff report pointed out the good aspects, that there are very few questions. Parking isn't an issue. It's already had this a similar function in the past, so I'm on board with it, Mr. Moore.
Yeah, I agree. I don't see any problem at all. The only question that popped into my mind, but I think it's covered by one of the conditions, is there's going to be some additional contact with the health department and, you know, certifying the kitchen and I think things like that, but I'm sure you're aware.
We've already gone through that, and we also own a coffee shop, bakery, art gallery, bookstore down in Gold Beach, so we're familiar with all the regulations.
All right. I see no problem with this at all.
Barry?
Yeah, I agree with all the other commissioners. It's not a problem. Kind of look forward to seeing you down there.
Great.
John?
No concerns here either.
And I don't have any concerns either. So all in, not here.
We gotta have a motion.
Yeah, we need to have a motion.
I move that this commission approve case file number one. CUP-24 and the applicants.
I'll second that.
Put the same staff conditions that Derek outlined in his staff.
I'll second that.
All in favor or signify by saying aye?
Aye.
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 Okay.
So, Mr. Moore, what we'll do is then I'll be bringing back a final order and findings for ratification at their next meeting. You don't need to be here for that. It's pretty perfunctory. Excuse me. Can't even say that word.
Perfunctory.
Perfunctory. There we go. But I would encourage you to, I believe you've been working with or have spoken with Joseph Lease, our billing official, about your plans for the interior remodel. I would encourage you to make sure to kind of tie off things with him. If there are building permits you need for the work, go ahead.
They've already been pulled, yes.
Okay, excellent. Excellent.
Thank you, Mr. Moore.
Okay, thank you.
Good luck.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
New business?
No, I just have director's comments, and I have a few that I'd like to touch on, if you can bear with me.
No new business, any unfinished business?
Derek, during the director's comments, we're going to go through the house bills.
Yes. Yeah, and we'll go ahead and get those uploaded. So a couple things. First, let me touch on the Portland State estimates. Council did their goal setting this morning.
Oh.
All right, and one of the things that they received was this from Spencer. And he had indicated in his memo that he was CCing the commission and myself, so wanted to make sure you had copies of this. The point that he was making, and it goes to some of the language in the mayor's letter on SB 1537, is that we're doing our part on housing. That's what you see in these certified population estimates. There are a number of factors that Portland State University uses in coming up with their estimates, but one very major piece is how much housing is a community adding. And that factors significantly into their estimate for population growth. And they annually ask us for that data. And so that's why you see we're, you know, almost a 3% clip, which is quite a bit higher than other comparably sized communities. So we're starting to see, you know, some of the fruits of our labors over the last decade or more, which you know, gives you a little bit of consternation with respect to some of the aspects of Senate Bill 1537. The you know, the governor and her staff are working hard on this comprehensive package. There are some good things there, some recognition that the state needs to bring additional resources for infrastructure, for example. is a piece of this. That's a good thing. The Housing Accountability Office, that's fine. You know, if you need that, that's fine. I don't think we had any objections to it. The piece that we struggle with and you know, is that adjustment piece. And, you know, it's up to 10 adjustments. Anybody developer can ask for, basically just say, hey, look, I can provide my units at lower cost if I get this adjustment. Well, you know, off-street parking's in the offing there because it costs money. I mean, it's pretty obvious there. But what you probably also saw were a number of the pieces we're trying to get ahead of, thinking this is likely to get through with the changes that you're going to be seeing as part of the housing production strategy implementation. And we talked about previously administrative adjustments to setbacks up to 10%, for example, lot coverage, that kind of thing. That's going to be covered under the code changes that you're going to be looking at a public hearing at your next meeting, which are those removing, you know, code barriers to housing development. And the, you know, from my perspective, it makes a lot of sense to get ahead of this kind of thing and encourage people, because when they see that in our code, that there's a path to getting to where they want to, that you as a commission and the council can live with, that's better than them going after 10 adjustments under this kind of legislation. So, but you know, we again conveyed, our mayor again conveyed, and this is consistent with what a lot of communities are conveying. The adjustment language is not popular amongst municipalities, and it may be that we can apply for an exception under the rules if that ultimately gets adopted. But I'm not certain that's a really good fit for us. But we can certainly talk about it. There is a UGB expansion provision in there. It's not of use to us. I'm not aware of any city that actually thinks it's going to work for them. So it's kind of another one of those consternations of, you have this one-time urban growth boundary amendment provision in this bill that most cities believe is not workable, but you're buying a major fight about it at the legislative level, because that's where a lot of the opposition is coming in, frankly, is on the urban growth boundary amendment side of it. So,
do you see the city of Newport needing to expand its urban growth boundary?
I think the best, we have one piece that we would like to bring in as part of an exchange and still have not been able to get that done, and that's that 40-acre piece up at Harney and 36th.
And that's the one where you have the infrastructure costs.
We have the infrastructure in place to support it. It's an outlier. Most land outside our urban growth boundary is harder to serve than what we already have inside our urban growth boundary. It's an exception. But the urban growth boundary rules are not set up with serviceability in mind. That's not part of the equation. And that's one of the frustrations with it at times is, look, you know, the city of Newport, like a lot of communities, particularly smaller communities, are living with an urban growth boundary that was drawn up in the early 80s and roped in a lot of land, some of which is just not going to get developed residentially. We went through the housing capacity analysis. We did the constructability assessment to illustrate that to policymakers that, hey, look, yeah, that's a lot of land, but, you know, 9 million, 20 million, you know, I mean, those are big infrastructure costs just to get services to those properties. They're not going to get built with any kind of housing anytime soon with those kind of costs that you're facing just to get the pipes and the streets to the properties. It would be nice if we could pull in resource land, but that's not allowed under this bill. That's usually the first thing that those that don't want to see urban growth boundary, I mean, they exempt out resource land, which would be your farm and forest. Again, this is largely about the preserving the Willamette Valley farmland. That's what this has always been about since the inception of Senate Bill 100 and the creation of Oregon's planning process. Modern planning process and the statewide goals and all of that was about preserving that farmland. Commercial timber is important too, but not like that farmland. particularly, you know, that high-value farmland right on the fringe of the Portlands and the Salems of the world. So it's likely SB 1537 is going to get through in some form. It barely failed last session. It's probably going to see a few additional amendments. It had its hearing. That's where the testimony on the letter from the mayor went in. It's got a work session coming up. We'll see. We'll see what happens in that regard. Another one we had in there is...
Chair, if I could.
Yeah.
What is the status of that UGB expansion up on Harney and 36?
Stalled out.
Been there to the county like a year ago?
Yeah, we more than that. It went nowhere with the county because the county wasn't obligated to do anything with it by law, and they were dealing with Echo Mountain and some of these other things that they are obligated to deal with within specific timelines. And so it hit the shelf for a period of time. And then they decided that they wanted to make sure any land that's coming out goes into a forest designation. And that was okay. The Hancock was okay with that. They'd worked some of the stuff out with Lettenmeyer, who is the property owner who's letting some of that property go out. But then there was an interpretation by the county that what comes out has to be equally as developable as what's going in. And that's where the rub hit. And it makes no sense to me. I get it, given the language that's in the rules, how they came up with the interpretation, but it makes no common sense whatsoever. I mean, frankly, if you're adding forest land and you're removing forest land and the forest land being removed is as productive as the forest land coming in, who cares how developable this land is that's going out of the urban growth boundary that can't be developed in an urban manner anyway because it's going out of the urban growth boundary. But what it does mean, it means something very specific to Lettenmeyer because Lettenmeyer, not all of their property was going out. They were keeping some of it in, and they wanted to keep the most developable part of it in because they would like to get a few additional home sites out of it under rural residential rules. And if a big chunk of what they have that's left that's developable has to go out of the urban growth boundary, that's the rub. And Hancock's been trying to negotiate that, and it's gone slow because they lost momentum. I don't know when it's going to get picked up again. Hancock mentioned that they're interested, but they've had some staffing turnover as well. Their project lead on this is Jerry retired. Jerry Anderson, who was kind of the head honcho who was looking over this stuff. So we'll see. We'll see if they pick it up or not.
What are we losing by having this not? Their potential development?
Potential for a couple hundred units that we could actually serve. And housing that's not Ocean View, which means we have a fighting chance of it being a little bit more affordable, you know? I mean, there's some distant Ocean View pieces of it, but not you know, a huge chunk of it.
I have a comment on the mayor's letter to...
Oh, on the other bill. This one's on 4134, which we support. This is one that Representative Gomberg and Elmer are the chief sponsors, and it's got a bipartisan group of legislators, both House and Senate, that are behind it. It's Housing Oregon's workforce. The concept here is to earmark infrastructure dollars for housing projects that can be built fairly quickly. The bill's language indicates that, I mean, if you get the earmark, the infrastructure has to be built within 24 months, the housing within 60 months. So these are projects that have already been designed. I mean, these developers that are associated with the earmarks have already done a fair amount of legwork. We have one of those earmarks, and that's for Windhaven. It's final phase, and that is to get it's to deal with a few things. One, it's We've got a choke point in the wastewater. They got the wastewater system, the pipes. Sorry, I was like the collection, the wastewater collection system, the public piping. Yeah, we've got a choke point that's off-site between Windhaven Phase 3 and a lift station that needs to be upsized. So it's an off-site improvement that needs to be taken care of. That's one. We've got some transportation-related improvements that need to be done. We're not going to be able to get a signal warrant from the state with Windhaven Phase 3. We might with the UG, well, no, we would with the UGB amendment if we get it, but not Windhaven Phase 3, because we have 31st and 36th, and we have the outlet at Big Creek Road, the one-way. All three of those, with all three of them, they disperse enough traffic that we're not going to be able to get a signal at any one particular location, even with Windhaven Phase 3. But what this would cover is getting sidewalk in all the way to 36th so that it can tie in with the project that we already have on the books to get sidewalk up the east side of 101 from basically Walmart north to 36th. And that's, you know, that would not only benefit Windhaven Phase 3, but Little Creek Apartments, which is more than twice the size of that sitting on the north side already, which also has no, I mean, you have no pet amenities. We have plenty of people who walk from Little Creek, for example, down to Walmart and other places. We have the goat paths well-worn down there. So this would cover that, which would involve a fair amount of sidewalk work, reconstructing curbs, some retaining wall work over by the intersection of 36th and 101, and resurfacing of the roads, that kind of stuff. So it's $875,000. It's intended as, these earmarks are intended as gap financing. They're not intended to be covering the bulk or all of the cost. And so we set it up that way.
The rest of the money would come from UGB?
Rest of it's going to come from the city and the developer. There would be some SDC dollars we'd throw out, particularly on the wastewater side of it, and some SDC, transportation SDC stuff for the sidewalk work, and maybe a little bit of urban renewal, but just within the 101, you know, right away proper.
Well, that's good to have something project ready, shovel ready, like this says. I mean,
right, Windhaven's behind it. They're ready to go. I mean, there are a lot of factors that the development committee is dealing with right now. Windhaven's been kind of trying to juggle the construction financing right now, so that's been a bit of a challenge too. But they're ready to go.
Is Windhaven taking care of the street issue on 31st, where it's continuously failing?
No.
How's that going to get addressed with the additional traffic increase and everything after Phase 3 goes in?
Well, that 31st was supposed to be, but way back in the day, 31st was going to be given up. That's why 36th was, Harney was extended up to 36th, and 31st was going to be abandoned because of that very problem. But there wasn't enough public support for that. And so the city will continue to nurse it along as long as it can.
Right.
I mean, it's not a circumstance that Windhaven created. I mean, it's just, no. You know, it's an underlying geology issue there with the wetlands. It's just sloughing down into there.
Sort of like
slowly.
Sort of like 101. And
I didn't mean to interrupt your comment.
Well, I would just say sort of like, you know, 101 and Fairly Beach, you know, above all the problems that they have there. They just keep filling it in.
Deeper.
I just perked up when you said you wanted to call it a trail.
Which
you get into this whole recreational issue.
One other bill I wanted to touch on, I gave you, is House Bill 4099. It's by Rep Gamba, and it's one that's probably going to make it through this session. It had a hearing already. Just so you know, the short session, I mean, it started February 5th, and they all have to have at least a hearing basically by the 12th. Work session or hearing, I believe, is how it's set up. If a bill doesn't get a work session or hearing by the 12th, then it's done. So that's how fast things are moving. House Bill 4099 is would set up an SDC deferral payment, deferred payment program that's backed up by the state. So the principle behind it is developers often have a hard time dealing with SDC payments because they have to pay them at the time building permits are obtained, which for them means they have to account for it in their construction financing at a higher interest rate than their final financing package. And so this is all set up to allow for those payments to be deferred until after occupancy, when they can roll everything into their final financing package. And the reason this is something I think a number of cities can get behind is because the state is backing it up. So if we don't get the payments, the state pays us, and then the state goes after the party that didn't make the payment.
Good.
And so they'll see.
Is this all project?
Huh?
Does this apply housing to all projects?
Housing, all housing statewide. Housing.
So if I build a single family house, I can just say, blow up the SDCs for 6 months and then pay them?
You know, part of that might be how we set up our own process. We're going to have to make changes to implement it, Bob. Right. And I'm not certain what the final version of this bill is going to look like, because it's still going to get some amendments. But I didn't see anything in there that said it had to be a project of a particular size to qualify.
One or more.
This is one or more, and it's housing. So
does that mean everybody is going to wait 6 months to pay their SDCs?
They might. It depends. You know, for some, they just want to get over, done with it, and move on. So I don't know that it's going to be as attractive to the person who's just doing an ADU or one house or something like that. But it's definitely going to be attractive to somebody like Windhaven, who, you know, is doing 90 units. Or could very well be something Fowler wants to take advantage of in their next project up at Wilder. I mean, we just met with them, 75 units. So once you get any kind of, even somebody like Locke Litwer and Cal Blaker are doing the projects down at Knight Beach, you know, which are a little bit smaller, but they're still, I mean, anywhere from maybe half a dozen units up to 10 units, you know, at a time, they might want to take advantage of it.
Well, what's your gut reaction to it? I mean, obviously there's a minor component of lost revenue. If you defer, $100,000 worth of payments, you don't earn interest in that for that period of time. But how do you feel about it?
I think we're always running a bit behind with respect to, I mean, because when we do SDC collections, you know, we collect, I mean, we're always running behind in terms of losing the value of that money because, you know, the projects that those things get expended on end up coming down years down the road. So losing some interest for a shorter period of time, I think it's worth the trade-off for the housing, frankly, if it's going to make it a little bit easier. The thing that could get cities behind it, and which, you know, I wouldn't support it if not for the fact that the state's saying they're going to back it up. And if the payment doesn't happen, the state makes the payment and they go and chase the delinquent party, because that's where we struggle the most. And it's, you know, it's a lot of money, it's a lot of work, and you may or may not get the funds at the end of the day, and it can involve litigation down the road, and, you know, it's just, yeah. If the state's going to back it up, I think we could get behind it. It is a bit of a more of an administrative issue for us, but we can sort that out.
Do we know much about who brought this? I mean,
Rep Gamba.
There's Rep's name, but who's...
Yeah, he was former mayor of Milwaukee, so he knows municipal government, and seeing how things have been going, I mean, system development charges have had a big bullseye target on them the last few sessions because housing is so important, and so the legislature's been, well, what can we do to help? And so, you know, home builders who hate paying SDCs or say, hey, nuke SDCs. And so there's been a lot of discussion about that, but then there's also been a realization on the legislature's part that that's not the smartest thing, because without infrastructure, we're not going to have housing. I mean, you know, it's not going to build itself, and SDCs are a component of it. But what, and that's where Gamba stepped in. He's like, oh, maybe if we could set up a program like this, this is the win-win. You know, help developers out by getting this into, you know, the more favorable financing arena for them, while still ensuring that SDC collections can continue, because they're an important part of the whole infrastructure piece.
Do you have any SDC collections you're engaged in?
Yeah, we collect. We have been for some time. We collect SDCs for all five eligible categories: transportation, water, wastewater, stormwater, and parks. And they're a meaningful part of our infrastructure. Yeah.
A lot of money.
The tricky thing with system development charges is they're cyclical and they're hard to peg because they're development driven. And if you don't have development, you don't have SDCs. So some, you know, especially, you know, as things go, some years they're better than others. But we don't borrow against future collections. We simply work off of what's in existing accounts. Lastly, for those of you, well, Bob, I think, is the only one on the budget committee. You're going to see one-page department summaries this year. We put them together for the council goal setting, and it's a nice one-page synopsis of what each department does in terms of its mandated responsibilities. Those are that have been committed by the city over the years, and then kind of your optional, more flexible things that departments are doing.
That's a good idea.
So it's got a nice, you know, we did a nice breakdown on time allocations for each department, and then department core responsibilities, goals, that kind of stuff, all on one page, along with organizational charts for each one.
Hmm. So. That was a really impressive package, going through it I was just reading through it, and I've never seen that level of detail before in a city organization. It just,
thank you. It slammed us last week.
I mean,
so
I thought it was great.
That was me and Sherry and Kathy, and then I'm pulling in the other department heads just to make sure we were getting the information, you know, right. You know, it's, yeah, no, I appreciate it. It took a lot of work.
Does it go with the budget too, or just the goal setting?
Well, it's going to be provided to the budget committee, yeah, as well. That's okay. Why I wanted to bring it up. For goal setting, I think it was very helpful for our council to have that. What we were trying to do is, too often in the past, our elected officials have not been given enough information to really have a clear sense of what the core responsibilities are for each department. Mm-hmm. And they walk into goal setting and it's like, here's a blank piece of paper. You know, what do you want, you know, for goals? And without a real, you know, weighing of how does this relate to what the mandated responsibilities are of a department or whatever. So this is a good way of kind of setting the stage of, okay, here's where we're at. Here's what we have to do. Here's what we've already committed to doing. Here's where we have some flexibility. Now let's talk about, you know, goals. And you know, that's not to say that we can't scale the level at which we accomplish certain mandatory tasks. Certainly we can. And that's fair game for discussion. And I think, you know, the council got that, and they were talking about that when we met with them early this morning. So we'll see where the goal setting goes. We'll need to plug that in for the commission too, and I'll get you an updated work program, because all of the committees are asked to do their goal setting, as you know, in addition to the council, and then it all comes together and gets finalized by the council.
You mentioned the work program. We're going to have one next meeting?
Yeah, I'll get one pulled together next meeting. I just didn't have a time. I was working on those other things.
And why did we cancel the work session today?
Because I had no chance to work on any of that stuff.
That's, yeah, fair enough.
Yeah,
I was working on that other stuff, so.
Okay.
The org chart with three people, didn't have, or a little more than that, but
that's where We need them, and when do you need them? We need them by Thursday. Okay, we'll make it happen.
Can I ask, what was the council's reaction to the idea of consolidating or eliminating some committees? I mean, I thought Eric put a pretty good synopsis together of how many committees we have versus like cities. Did they get into that at all?
I appreciate the question. I wasn't participating in that discussion, so I don't know where it went. We'll see. I can ask Spencer and kind of find out, but I was, department heads were involved early, going over the summary sheets and then talking about department goals, and then we left and they did their own thing.
Okay, very good. Anything else?
Time for the gavel.
Okay. Bang it.
We're adjourned at 7:52.
Hey, Braulio.